Do you remember back in early 2020 when the self-improvement post started to spring up? There were the sourdough starters, the banana breads, poems. I planned to write a whole load of songs. I think I wrote one. It was as if, given a gap in normal life, we'd rushed to find ways to fill it, to prove we were still productive, still functioning. One of the other trends that took off over lockdown was roller skating. A viral video of a jam skater called Umi Janta dancing in her skates in the bright Berlin sunshine propelled it into the mainstream. But for artist Tyrese Holder, roller skating wasn't an Instagram craze. It was a lifeline. Tyrese is one of the artists in residence at Somerset House who primarily works in textiles and spoken word. Here, she explores the history of skating within the Black community of London, talking to elders who have been skating for over 30 years, as well as young women putting on all-female skate events in the capital. In this tender portrait, she reflects on how skating is opening up a new way of connecting with her family and processing grief.
With skating, you don't have to put on a show. It's just for you. Like dance, like art, is a way to express yourself and a way to feel comfortable.
Well, skating has changed my life. Oh, wow. Honestly, so many things have happened for me for skating.
The troubles are gone. When you're on your skates, the troubles are gone.
I mean, skating for me is beautiful. It frees my mind.
Ask how many people that roller skating saved their life during the pandemic because they were so damn depressed and their only release was skating. Ask them.
So my name is Tyrese Holder. I'm an artist, poet, visual storyteller, textile designer, life lover, life liver.
One, two, three, four.
Honestly, skating is actually one of the best things happened in my life.
One, two, three, four.
So the skating I do is roller skating, which is I do specifically quad skating, so that's the four wheels.
This is crossovers. It's when you're just skating forward and you step in. So crossover this way, crossover that way, crossover this way, crossover that way.
I've always kind of wanted to skate, but my parents were a bit reluctant because I was a very clumsy child. Rightfully so, I was always falling over, and they're like, you're going to break up yourself. So I said, okay. And then, yeah, then obviously the pandemic kind of hit, and I just had a lot more free time, and I decided just to put my skates on and go.
So one move I've been trying to do a lot more is like one leg. So step in, back, forward, back.
Skating has helped forward, me to fall in love back, with process a lot more than outcome.
Back, ah!
I'm someone where, you know, I just want to get things straight away, and skating, it does not work like that.
So I've been practicing my spins a lot lately.
You literally just have to keep trying and trying and trying, and you have to keep falling and falling and falling.
Five, six, oh! I just fell. This is like the reality.
But when you get it, it's so amazing. It's so good. It's so good.
Ben, stop. Ben, stop. Ben, stop. Ben, stop. Stop.
In that moment when I'm skating, you know, it's just like all my worries kind of just go away.
Roses are red. Yeah, you. Violets are blue.
And that also translates into my art practice as well. You know, I think for a little while I kind of fell out of love with the process of making. I was kind of just making just to make, or making because I want to have the outcome, I want to have an exhibition. I think skating has helped with that, thinking about the process and like taking time with it and not trying to rush things, you know. So my work, I use poetry as a stimulus to translate into garments and to translate into textiles, and I'm particularly concerned with how textiles functions as poetic language to heal trauma within Black women. and looking at black women and that experience of blackness, what it means to be black, or what it means to exist as someone who is black, and navigating colonial spaces is something that I look at a lot. I'm really interested in seeing the history of skating, especially within London, because I know there is like a long kind of history within it that has been erased. And skating has always been a way for, you know, black people to really just free up themselves. And it's also been used as a form of resistance. I think when people think of roller skating, they do just think of the US culture, but there is like a long history within Britain as well.
Hi, my name is Robin and I'm Tyrese's uncle. My experience of skating was from the early 80s. Whatever we did it on our roller skates, basically. And because it was so new and early, I don't even think the police knew what to do, because we used to skate on the road, big posse of us, and, you know, they'd stop us and say, you know, you can't go on the road. And we'd say, well, we were just skating on the pavement, and, you know, another policeman said that we're not allowed on the pavement, so where can we go?
People, I've noticed, especially in London, people don't like skaters. I think they like the idea of skaters, and when you see a trick, it's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But, you know, and I think there's not many skate spaces in London. Right now, we're in Clapham Common at a Skate with Sis event, which is basically an all-female event. And even to get into here, we've had to, like, climb the fence because the gates are locked.
Hi, I'm Denisha. I'm one part of Skate with Sis. We're a duo. My skate partner's Caitlin, and we basically are here to have fun and put on female events.
I love that. So a big question I have is, in my work, I kind of explore this whole idea of cis and what cis means to me. I have a poem, I say cis is tired, and I'm concerned about, you know, like the coming together of like black women. What does cis and sisterhood mean to you?
So sisterhood for me means, first of all, unity, because I feel like in our generation right now, we do like a lot of that, especially in the womanhood. So sisterhood is being supportive, having a united front, and obviously just being empowered and empowering other girls around you.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful, and I love that. And what does skating mean to you? Like, what is your relationship with skating, and how has it changed your life?
Well, skating has changed my life. Honestly, so many things have happened for me for skating. And for me, like, the rooting of skating for me is freedom. And I know everyone says that, but honestly, I feel so liberated. I feel energized and I can do what I want. There's no time limit. And in terms of just my progression, I love seeing where I've come from, where I am now, and where I'm going to go.
When I look to you, I see me too. Two synergies, webbed energies, one place of home in me and you. We see zero opportunities for hatred. Same skin, different kin, beginnings of beautiful brilliance.
Hey, bitch.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm good, Yan. This is my twin sister, Yanis, and I managed to persuade her to get skates in 2020. And she's been out a handful of times, but I'm really trying to get her back on the wheels, especially with me, because it's going to be an opportunity for us to bond.
All right.
Have you been skating recently?
No, not in the past week and a bit, you know.
All right. I'm going to do some practicing now. Skating has been a big source of my healing. It gives me an opportunity to find meditation, stillness, escapism, joy. And that's something I really want to bring to my family. You ready?
Yeah.
Ah, good.
Let's go.
Come.
I think Tyrese is very smart, and she's very artistic.
I think when we were younger, I think Yan was a bit more talkative than I was. I was very shy. But I think as we got older, I think that's swapped. I think I'm a bit more talkative.
Yes, he is.
And Yanis, a bit more like reserved. And yeah, I think we have like our twin banter. So like from the outside, like sometimes we'll like talk to each other in a way. My brother be like, why are you talking to each other like that? It's like, you ain't get it, we're twins, like.
You don't understand, it's twin talk.
Yeah, we just talk to each other anyhow. Right, Yan, so do you remember what we learnt last time?
Yes, V-shape.
Okay, cool. So basically,
bend low.
Exactly.
So not too wide.
Exactly. So you want to have your feet kind of in a V.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? I'm going to put my hands out.
All right, cool.
Yeah. You good?
Yeah.
Ready?
And yeah, I'm ready.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Same skin, different kin, beginnings of beautiful brilliance. But bluebirds find new herds and call them a flock. Two words heard new verbs and find peculiar places to dock. Shallow waters alter falters of a hand-picked lock. Lapsy-daisy, lash brazy attitude wilt his worries to a stop. We hop from meaning to meaning, fiending for freedom. Don't you see, my ladies, we're a quartet forever. Find freedom's gold from the grandeur gauntlet together.
Oh, that's a bit easier, actually.
Easier?
Yeah, left. Left first.
When I look to you, I see me too. There you go. There you go. Sorry, I put you on. Sorry. I got gas on. Sorry. I'll be quiet.
Okay, so I'm Marilyn Fontaine. I'm a creative life coach, and I'm also an artist specialising in heritage work, women and their stories.
I came across this striking image of a group of black skaters in Battersea Park on an Instagram account called Skate Dad. And one of the ladies in that photo is wearing these like yellow and orange leg warmers, these big glasses. And I was like, who is that? Like, who is that in that picture? And it was Marilyn. I really wanted to speak to her about what it was like back in the day, because there is a lack of documentation of Black British skating history. I just want to know how you got into skating.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what was your journey with it?
I must have been on pirate radio. There was a roller rink going to be open. Now, we didn't know nothing about roller rinks. I knew there was one in North London, but I was 17. So I went and got skates, white skates, red wheels, and we went to this roller disco. I was 1983 or 84. And me and my cousins and my two sisters. For me, all I could explain it was that there was waves. But it was going backwards, and people that looked like me. So I'd never been to kind of a mostly black, you know, space like that to do with anything other than family parties. And so that was Uppercut and Forest Gate, and I hadn't seen anything like it before.
I think that's such a beautiful introduction, because I know my first time, like, really... Well, my first time, like, putting on skates was in my garden. So it wasn't anywhere near as, like, picturesque and transformational. But, I just wanted to ask, what do you think are, like, the differences between, like, back then and now when it comes to, like, skating?
I think at the time we didn't... It's the social media. So we didn't have that. I've got loads of pictures. We had pictures. I think we just got down and did it. I do wonder when I see people record so much, are they really enjoying skating? I think that's why our anxieties are high, because we are being a third person to our experience. And I'm starting to get deep, but that is the truth. And skating is saving a lot of people. But I wonder, is the fact, the desire to constantly share that on social media, is that like a double-edged sword?
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. I think you put it really beautifully as well. And also I find that, you know, it's when the camera's there, it changes how I skate. It's like my body knows it's there. As much as I try to say ignore it, just skate and try capture, like,
yes,
my body knows it's there. And you also mentioned about, like, the history of skating. And, yeah, I think that's something I've noticed, that it's not really documented, I think, British skating. I think there's definitely a big problem with, you know, things not being archived, like lost stories. And I think our history having to survive, like, orally through, like, storytelling, and where that is very important, I think, to us and our culture. I think there's definitely a need for these things to be archived. And I think that's from the young generation
exactly.
to you. I think that's something I would ask.
Yeah.
All those pictures, scan them in.
Well, they are, because we are doing cataloguing stuff now and getting things, getting stories out and documenting what happened, just so we can see a history, because skating not only impacted people, it impacted the music culture and fashion. Honestly, it was one of the best times.
You know that moment, yeah, when you got it,
How did that feel?
I felt like I've actually achieved something, so I'm getting there. I know I can do it, it's just the fear. I feel like with my eyesight and stuff like that. Because obviously I can't really do certain things, like when I'm going out. So like, for instance, I can't like, just go on a scooter and start riding it on the pavement, or go on a bike and start riding it. I can't really do that. So I feel like this is as close as I can get to actually doing stuff outside.
Yanis has an eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which means she can struggle to see in low light conditions, and she doesn't have a peripheral vision, also known as tunnel vision. It does have a practical impact on her daily life, and sometimes I do worry that it can be quite isolating for her.
Pretty much like every day, I suffer from anxiety. So I feel like me doing this roller skating, I feel like it will help me to get out a lot more and try to meet new people and everything.
What made you... Because obviously I was pressing you for time to get skates, but what made you get the skates?
Do you know what? I feel like... It's not because everybody else is starting to roller skate. There wasn't that see that. It's like more or less, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a go because like mum is able to do it as well. Mum liked doing roller skating from a younger age. And obviously she really wishes that she could have roller skated up to however old she got. But it's like, yeah, I just feel like I was kind of more or less like not just doing it for myself, but I'm more or less doing it for mum as well because she was unable to do it and I'm able to do it, but I'm not doing it.
I remember when I was younger, I used to see these pair of roller skates in the cupboard. They were white with like these red wheels. And I used to think, oh, they're so cool. And they belonged to my mum. And she used to tell me stories of how she used to skate when she was younger, in her childhood years, with like the metal skates she used to like attach to your shoes. And I was like, those look like death traps. And yeah, it just really inspired me to like want to actually begin skating. And I used to show her like skate videos of me, and like she used to be like so impressed, which I'm like really glad. Unfortunately, she passed away late 2021, and yeah, my world just stopped. Skating is the only thing that has kept me grounded, and skating is the only way that I've kind of been able to feel anything really.
You know, I had a really nice moment when I was out here, yeah? I was playing my music. The sky was like this, it was kind of like dreary. And when that song came on, yeah, you should have seen how the sun started shining. It was like shining, shining, shining. And I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mum likes the song. So I was like, I was out here and I was like, oh, mum, I said, oh, you like the song, innit? And then the sun just kept shining. So I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna select the next song, yeah. I put the next song, the sun went away. I went, right, I didn't like that one. I was like, oh, I said, ah, sorry, sorry, that wasn't a good selection, that wasn't a good selection.
Yeah, she didn't like the next one you picked. She wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, skating really has become like, yeah, a massive part of my life. Now when you see me a lot of time, you see my skates over my shoulder, you know. Yeah, skating saved me, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've met some like amazing people through skating. I've made new friends through skating.
You do it, you get lost in it, you forget that you're doing it.
You look amazing.
Thank you, so do you.
Do you want to be part of this?
Hello.
I think skaters tend to be quite open to like let you in and be like, let me teach you this, or like, let me show you this.
You know, if you want to make it smooth, put the weight in your toes. So you're here. Now when you're back here, put the weight in your toes, like leave it forward.
I bought some pieces there because I didn't know if you wanted to like engage with some
yes.
of the work I do. Yeah, so I just bought a section of the tufted rug.
What is this? What are these? Because you've got colours of blue, green, white, orange, red, yellow. It's just so vibrant and beautiful. What do these represent? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, no worries. So the piece was called Dun Dunan, and it was just exploring the position of a black woman navigating the changing states of 2020. I graduated uni at that time, and I was kind of assaulted with all this digital trauma to do with like the George Floyd and then the Black Lives Matter movement. And I was using this piece just to kind of navigate all that confusion. Also my mental health, my mental well-being, just everything basically.
That's amazing. That is really, wow.
Thank you. So I'm kind of really concerned about textiles' role in healing trauma, specifically yes. within black women.
It's amazing because as an artist, that was my research with the Weaving was, it was called Healing, Creativity and Trauma. And it was very much about intergenerational trauma. And I said this quote, we are our ancestors' wildest dreams, but also their biggest nightmare. Because the fear of being exposed and what that the implications of exposing yourself as a creative, as an artist, as a woman, the fear of death, fear of lynching, it's embedded in our generation, just like you've got hair on this cloth. But I think that this work, the textile work, I think it's really important because you don't have to get it consciously.
Mm.
And this is why art is really important.
I think it's really important as well. I think where skating kind of comes into it also is a lot of the psychological trauma, a lot of that, and a lot of that trauma is stored in the body, and that manifests into physical health and problems as well. And I think where skating kind of comes in and like being able to like, you know, have that outlet to, you know, help the body and you know, to really see ourselves. I think we don't spend enough time seeing ourselves. The system that we live in is not designed for anyone, to be honest. It's specifically, it's definitely not designed for Black women, you know. And I think, yeah, and having awareness of what that's doing to us and doing to our psyche and doing to our spiritual being as well. So yeah,
you've kind of said what is really important for your generation and also what we've said in our generation. But I feel like you've been had to, because since Black Lives Matter, you've had more permission to be able to express that.
Mm.
Whereas we did, but we were scared, or we would say it and it came across too militant. But I think that it's current to what's going on with you guys. And, you know, going back to what you said about skating, what skating has done is what hip-hop had done. Hip-hop and dance, jive, soul dancing was a way of people, how we, everybody would, the oppressed on any level would release. And there's a saying in, I think, the Native American, when somebody's sick, and they say, did you dance? And they say when people stop dancing, that's when they get ill. And I think that's the power of skating. And this is, I hope we can, podcasts like this will really help people and inspire people.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Since my mum passing, you know, my dad has actually been coming out with me to skate to Crystal Palace Park. And even though he can't skate yet, just him being outside in the sun with the music going and just watching me skate, he would like record me. Sometimes I feel embarrassed, but at the same time, it's like really nice. And I actually said, you know, he feels really proud to watch me skate. And it just provided us a moment to kind of, you know, get out and just find those little pockets of joy throughout the day.
For you, it's just sitting to yourself, let go of the fear and let yourself have fun with it. Yeah? Right, ready?
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
So hopefully in the summer we can all go out and skate and just have a good time.
Yeah, the reason why I want to keep skating with you is because come summertime, we can go out, the sun's shining, music's going, and I feel like skating is such a good like moment to like, be together and like reconvene and like just appreciate each other's presence, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing for me as well, like, appreciating people, like, when they're here, and appreciating each other's presence, like, especially with mum. Sometimes I wish I appreciated her presence a bit more. So I want to appreciate your presence more, so I show that I love you.
I love you
too. Even though you get on my damn nerves. But I do love you, I love you a lot, so.
I'm not really talking much, because it's fucking hard.
That's right. Anyway, you know I like chat anyway, so yeah, I don't mind, you can listen.
When I look to you, I see me too. Similar reflections perplexed in what we're truly here to do. To strive, to be alive, to merely exist as the other. My brothers, my sisters, my people.
There you go, there you go. Yeah. You see that, you see that? You see that? That was good, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's a bit gas, isn't it?
And it felt good, innit?
Yeah.
All right, see?
I'm just here to be me, and you're here to be you.
So far, we've been primarily thinking about the idea of the process as a kind of linear workflow. Your idea starts here, and then you have the process, and then out pops a piece. But that doesn't allow for its meaning as a verb, to process. And that's what I found striking in this episode. Skating is a part of Tyrese's practice in a way that isn't outcome-orientated. It's practice as a way of processing life. When we started this series, we were going to follow artists as they explored one idea they were in the middle of. The plan was that along the way, we'd discover something profound about the creative process to understand how it all works. But now, looking back, it's quite clear to see that it doesn't all really work like that. The process is wildly different for every artist. And in reality, the process doesn't start and stop. An idea isn't born, it's continual. It's a process of collaboration. Then, once it's out in the world, it starts a whole new process. With you, the audience. Thanks to Tyrese Holder, Yanis Holder, Tyrese's Uncle Robin, Marilyn Fontaine, Skate with Sis, and all of the skate community we talked to in London. This series of The Process is produced by Alana Chance, presented by me, Laurent John, and executive produced by Eleanor Scott for Somerset House. The music is by Carbeard. If you've enjoyed this series, follow and subscribe on your podcast app. There'll be another series coming later this year, produced by the Next Creator in Residence, supported by the Rothschild Foundation. If you'd like to get in touch, find us on Twitter and Instagram at Somerset House. Thanks for listening.